is a Catholic response to Pride Month. And we put pride in parentheses because there's a good pride and then there's certainly a bad pride that can be one of the deadly sins. It's an effort to make June known as Humility Month. Reclaim June for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And in the Dallas area, many churches are going to be celebrating it on the first Friday, June 7th through Saturday, June 8th. Okay, that's 2 weeks from now, which is perfect because Friday is the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Saturday is the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So, Vicki, let me start with you. Vicki Leland, tell us about the history of this, how long it's been going on, and kind of the inception and how it got started in the first place.
Sure, and it's a really very lovely, growing story, and I can't wait to see where it all ends up in the end. But just about 5-6 years ago, a group of us friends, Catholic women of the North Texas area, were looking at June is coming up, just like you were telling us just a little bit ago. We were having this. There's not a small group of people that get very uncomfortable with what is thrown at us in June. And so we were amongst ourselves saying, what can we do? Because the numbers of people who are very concerned and bothered and what are is great, but we're kind of floundering, like, what do we do? So amongst us, just as girlfriends, well, the answer isn't to do nothing, and the answer isn't just to complain. So what can we do as lay women? And so we came up with this idea that the church has the answers. We don't. The church does. And so if we delve into the practices and devotions and the teachings of the church, that's where the answers lie. And so we just said to ourselves, why don't we just be Catholic? And so our first idea was June is supposed to, as traditionally for hundreds and hundreds of years, been devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And his heart is meek and humble. So it's all about learning the virtue of humility in June, which is exactly diametrically opposed to what our culture is saying that we should be celebrating in June. So our first idea was to make June Humility Month in our parishes. And we kind of struggled for a few years trying to get that off the ground. But what we landed on that really seemed to take traction was doing a Eucharistic adoration the first week in June, specifically with the theme and the prayerful posture of trying to build marriage and family back to the glories of what our God has designed them to be. And to get Catholics praying on their knees in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the presence of our Lord and asking his guidance, please, Lord, tell us what to do. Please, Lord, forgive us for our sins. Please, Lord, help my family. There's so much that we could be praying for. So in 2022 was our first Eucharistic adoration for the repair and restoration of marriage and family. And it really began with one parish. One of our members of this little ragtag group of ladies talking about it went to her parish priest, and he just immediately said, yes, let's do it. And then we all started going to our own parishes, and some said no, some said yes. And in 2022, we had 10 parishes that came on board and did a 24-hour Eucharistic adoration, a Friday through a Saturday. And we went around, all of us, you know, and watched. And there, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, of course, there's 40, 50, 50, 60 people in people's parishes praying and doing this devotion. We went at 2 and 3 and 4 in the morning, and we found the same numbers.
Oh, wow.
It was incredible.
Wow.
It was so lovely. We had prepared some meditational materials that we'd put in a spiral notebook that if people who came to this, if they wanted some material to help them in their prayers and their meditation, we put those out, and those went over extremely well. And stuff. So we got a lot of affirmation that we were on the right track. One thing we did notice that first year is children were being brought to this Eucharistic adoration, which was great. But the children were fidgeting, looking around, not really participating. So the second year we put 3 booklets together just geared to teaching children about what Eucharistic adoration is, what is devotion to the Sacred Heart, what is humility. So in 2023, as we built the effort, what did we get, Heidi, 14 or 15 parishes?
15 parishes last year.
And we introduced the children's booklets. And they also were just phenomenally received. And the children love them. So we've kind of been building the idea. So this year, our idea was to grow the number of parishes outside the DFW as well as inside the DFW area, as well as maybe give people who attend our adoration events something to take home with them to keep the grace is flowing through the whole month, not just during that adoration. So this year we've put together a novena for parents or for families to take home with them, and that they could stay with their families and pray through the month of June to continue the graces of the adoration. So you can just see we're adapting and growing as we go along, and it's a building thing. We're very excited to have Father Brian join us.
Yeah, very nice. And let's go ahead, Heidi. You want to bring Father Brian in?
Yeah, I think this is a perfect time to bring Father Brian in.
Yeah, so Father Brian, as I mentioned, first pastor, and you probably haven't asked a lot of them, so it's not like you're getting a lot of no's. This is the first time you're venturing out, and
yes.
I'm curious, Father Brian Harrington, how did you become the first? How did you get connected to these wonderful ladies? Do you want to tell us that story first?
Certainly. So with God, there's no coincidence, right? It's all part of his providential plan. So Heidi and I just got back from a week-long pilgrimage to Lourdes, France, with the Order of Malta, of which I'm a chaplain from our region down in southwest Louisiana, in Cajun country. And Heidi and her friend work like together, and so we were all part of the same group, and we just had spent a lot of time together, and she shared with me this wonderful initiative of praying for marriage and family during the month of June in this. And I thought it was sounded like a great thing. So I'm all about great things. So, and so I said, sign me up. So here we are. This is so great.
Yes. Yeah. So Father, what exactly will your parish be doing?
So what we're doing every Wednesday, because so every Wednesday from 12:05, right after the 12:05 Mass to right before the 12:05 Mass on Thursday. So about 24 hours every Wednesday, Thursday during the month of June, we're going to do this special 24 hours of adoration and reparation and for marriage and family. Yeah. So, we have a big adoration chapel in our parish. And so people love doing it. So all this literature that y'all are talking about, all of the intentions, it's going to be right as people walk in on those days. And so I'm definitely going to be promoting it in our parish, trying to get more and more people in our parish and maybe even our surrounding area to come up as well.
Father, you probably, I don't know if how much time you've had to kind of introduce this to the parish. Have you had any initial responses or what are people saying in your parish when you talk about it?
Here's the thing. So I'm in Cajun country. This is southwest Louisiana, and marriage and family is very, very, very important. Not that it's not important everywhere else, but it's a huge thing in our area, and it's a very Catholic culture area as well. Mary and the faith and marriage is just part of the almost like the air. It's in our DNA. So any kind of affront or any kind of intrusion by the culture or anything like that that's negative or against our faith, it's always seen as an attack and an affront. So it's always very usually, for the most part, negatively received by the culture and by the people. And so this kind of stuff where we are very intentionally saying, we're putting up our hands and saying no to all this woke gender ideology, all this stuff that the world's trying to throw down our throats, we say no to it. And so stuff like this is always very, very well received. And so I just can't wait to promote it even more. And but just from my point of view, the idea why I love this idea so much of doing Eucharistic adoration, like this specific form of devotion, is so beautiful. Because when Jesus was in the Garden of Agony, in Garden of Gethsemane, during his agony, he asked his apostles if they would stay awake with him and watch and pray. Mm-hmm. And why? Well, because he was suffering, right? He was suffering and he wanted their support. He wanted them to be there for him. Now, he's Jesus. He could do anything he wants, but that's the beautiful thing about our Lord, is that he totally, completely imbued what it means to be human, which means suffering and being in agony and pain whenever sin and evil is happening. And so he wanted his apostles, his friends, to be there with him, to console him, to be with him in his time of tremendous agony. And what happened? As we know, they all couldn't do it. They all fell asleep. And our Lord, we would go back to him and he would say, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Like, could you not do this, right? And they couldn't. And so the devotion of doing a holy hour with our Lord, specifically in front of him in the Blessed Sacrament, kind of took off as a way to kind of say, the apostles were unable to do it, but here I am, Lord. I'm here, and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. I know it's a long time, but I'm going to be here with you, consoling you, and being with you in your agony, in your pain. And I think this, the sin of all the woke craziness, it's a tremendous burden. It's a tremendous agony for our Lord to see. And so we, the faithful, and we're not judging or we're not condemning or anything like this, but we are saying no to it. And so we go into the chapel and we kneel down in humility with our Lord, and we say, hey, I know you were suffering. You were sweating blood. It's so terrible is this sin, but here I am. And I'm just going to console you, Lord, and I'm going to pray in reparation for this tremendous sin against the great gift of human sexuality that you gave to us. And we're going to pray for the conversion of all the people who are, you know, who are promoting this kind of stuff. And we're going to be promoting for all the people who are victims, who are brainwashed, mm-hmm. you know, by all this stuff. And we're going to be there as not, you know, not as a, we're not fighting anybody. We're not going to make a big stink about it. But what we are going to do, and something that we can do and that our Lord asks us to do, is to pray. Amen. And so I think it's such a beautiful thing that you guys are doing, because it's, in a sense, it's as you guys were saying, it's super Catholic. It's something that people throughout the centuries have been doing. And so we just kind of take up the banner, and in our own day and time with this particular craziness that we're having to deal with, and we're doing it just like all our ancestors did in the past, by prayer, by peaceful prayer, by and being with our Lord, who is the one who is going to, you know, be the one to win the day in the end.
All right.
Amen, guys.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks, Father Brian. Father Brian Harrington again from Church Point, Louisiana. I want to bring Heidi into the conversation. Heidi, let's talk about a couple of things. There's a website that you have set up, because people listening right now may say, I don't know, maybe my parish is already doing this. I don't want to, you know, reinvent the wheel. My parish, maybe it already is. I know they're all listed there. What is the website? What can they find there? And I also want to ask you about how people can support it financially as well. So sure. Can you talk about those two things?
Yes. So our website is called catholiccaravan.org. On that website, it's a very simple website. It lists all of our participating parishes. It shows some of the parishes that have participated in past years. And it has all of their adoration times, the contact person for their parish. And you can contact them to find out how to sign up for an hour or two, or you can just show up and pray at the times that are available in the church that's near you. Of course, we want as many additional parishes as we can get. There is a link that you can click on to bring this to your parish, and we will help you walk through it, everything you need to do in order to bring it to your parish. It's really important that we do this together, and we show the names of the participating parishes on our website, because the more solidarity we have, the better, the more effective we will be at getting this message out. We have prayer materials that have been mentioned, there's all sorts of beautiful meditations in these prayer booklets that have been really carefully curated, all from church fathers and saints and scripture and the catechism. And it costs about $10 per booklet for us to print those. In the Dallas area, we try to provide those to any parish that signs up to participate with us. And so there is a link on our website to donate, and all your donations will go directly to the cost of printing those booklets to have available at all the churches. There is also, like I said, a link if you want to bring this. I've been getting emails already, one from Montana, one from Santa Barbara, you know, people that have gotten word about this and they're wanting to bring it to their parishes. And it's just a matter of getting your pastor to say yes. After that, we help you with every step of the way. You can print the whole prayer booklet directly from our website. So
you expect some other out-of-state ones to sign up this year?
We do. We already have some leads on some additional ones, and we're just so thrilled that Father Brian joined us first, and we hope that he's the beginning of many more to come.
All right. Amen. And Vicki, if somebody's listening right now and they say, most likely they're in DFW because that's where we're broadcasting. I want to bring this to my parish. I'm not on the list. I would check the website, catholiccaravan.org. We're not on there. What should their steps be? What should they do?
They should go to their pastor and present the idea to their pastor and say, you know, could we do this here? And if the pastor says yes, you know, they look at the website, they see the materials, they look at, it's very customizable to every parish. Maybe they can't do it that June 7th and 8th that we've set the dates as kind of the typical one. Maybe, like Father Brian, the Wednesdays work better so they can see what works in their parish, their time frame, their activities, and work around it. And sometime in June, offer this at their parish. We have already done a lot of the work. If they need advertising flyers, we've put them together. We just need to enter their information. So the next step then, if the parish priest says yes and they get in touch with us, we give them all of what we've already put together to make the whole process from that point on easier. You need a contact person, essentially, that may help put the materials in the Adoration Chapel or the church or that type of thing. So you need probably one good volunteer in your parish that can kind of spearhead the effort on the ground, you know, along with the parish priest. But get in touch with us through CatholicCaravan.org, and we can help you with every step of the way beyond that.
This has really gotten really organized, hasn't it? I can imagine 5 or 10 years from now, this being in hundreds and hundreds of parishes across maybe the whole world. You never know.
From your lips to God's ears.
I know it's getting a little step ahead, but I could possibly see somebody in other countries wanting to get involved in this as
Wouldn't
well.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
And it all started right here with one parish in Dallas, Texas. That's awesome. We also talked, to our Spanish team here about Spanish language parishes, and that would be a very natural outreach because, as Father said about the culture in southern Louisiana, the Spanish language culture is very family oriented, and I think tend to also have that same reaction that he talked about. So, do you think that might happen this year, Spanish parishes?
Well, we already have that. Our Litter Perpetual Help is predominantly a Spanish parish. All of our materials for the adult prayer booklets are all translated into Spanish, thanks to some volunteers who have helped tirelessly with that effort. And so, when we print up our booklets, we print both English and Spanish to have available for both churches. So we're already on the path to doing that and making sure that we reach out to those Spanish communities, because honestly, my parish is St. Cecilia Catholic Church. I also want to give a shout out to Padre Cruz at my parish. He was the first one to come on board with this. And this year he wants to do 40 hours instead of 24 hours out of adoration. So he is just a huge support for this effort. And the parishioners at that church, they were begging me, following me out the door to get the booklets. How do we get more of these booklets? And really just were touched by the information in them and needed them. They need them. They need the information in them so they can continue to fight this cultural battle.
Any forays into the Fort Worth Diocese? Is anybody, Fort Worth, are they on board?
St. Thomas Becket in the Cleburne area was on our list last year, and they will be joining again. They're part of the Ordinariate. There is another one. I'm blanking out on that one right now, but we do have another one that is in that area as well.
All right, we're talking about 24-hour adoration for the repair and restoration of marriage and family. It's a Catholic response to Pride Month, and that is what, in our culture, June has turned into. And I think, as we've already kind of explained, a lot of people are like, oh, gosh, I just want June to end. And I hope one day it's like, I can't wait for Humility Month. I love June. And, that's the goal here. In studio, Vicki Leland and Heidi Marr, they are two of the organizers that have started this a few years ago. And also we have on the phone line with us Father Brian Harrington. He's pastor of Our Lady of Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Church Point, Louisiana, southern Louisiana, the first pastor to bring this to his parish outside of DFW. Heidi, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just would like to reiterate before we end that obviously the prayers and adoration are so important, but equally as important is that we have solidarity on these issues and we get these parishes onto our website so that everybody knows where these adorations are happening, and they know that we're all locking arms on this issue. We know that there is a cultural promotion and celebration of this both outside of the church, and we even know it's crept into the church, and we need to not ignore that. It's an intentional battle that we are fighting, and there are, it's said over and over and over again how many souls are being led astray by this. But I just really wanted to also mention something that I think gets overlooked a lot, and I think it happens more and more, and I run into people more and more with this same story, and that is that there are so many parents out there that are struggling with children who have really been, they have really given in to the culture on this issue. They're struggling with their own sexuality, oftentimes very confused, and it starts at a very young age. And these parents are trying to stand up for their beliefs and trying to live out their Catholic faith, and often they are persecuted and abandoned by other children who want to support the sibling that is struggling. They're sometimes abandoned by their own parents and extended family members, and they are stood holding the banner alone of their faith, and they need to know that they have somewhere to go, that, that their church community is standing up for them, and there's a safe harbor in the storm that says, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. And they are following in the footsteps of Saint Monica and praying for the salvation of their children's souls, which is so much more heroic than giving in to the culture and what the culture tells you to do.
Amen. Thank you, Heidi. Let me have a last word from Vicki, and then we'll close out with Father Brian, and he's also going to say a prayer for this whole effort. So, Vicki, you got about a minute for you and a minute for Father, and then we'll be out of time. So what would you like to add?
I think it's just a big thank you. I want to say thank you to all the wonderful priests who participate in this effort, and they lock arms in this battle. It takes a bit of courage in our culture to do that these days and within our church. And I just want to say a tremendous kudos to them, because this affects a lot of people. And if we can get more people in our adoration chapels on their knees praying for this, the church will be better, families will be better, marriages will be better. And thank goodness we have the priests that are leading the charge in that. So thank you, priests who have come on board with us.
Which is a great segue to Father Brian, because he's one of those priests that you're talking about. Before we go to Father Brian Harrington from Church Point, Louisiana at Our Lady of Sacred Heart Catholic Church, just want to give out that website, because that's probably one of the most important things that we can convey during this interview, because all this information is on the website, CatholicCaravan.org. CatholicCaravan.org. You can find out all about 24-hour adoration for the repair and restoration of marriage and family. Father Brian, we're going to give you the last word, and if you could close us out with a blessing also, we'd be very thankful.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you to all of you for having me. It's such a wonderful thing. You know, this upcoming weekend when we're recording this is Pentecost weekend, and certainly you guys and everyone who's helping and donating and being a part of this whole effort is in a very real way working with the Holy Spirit. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit to bring this to light and to help heal our culture. So let's keep it going, huh? Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely, guys. Well, let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you send upon all of us a great spirit of healing so that we might continue to heal from the great wound of gender ideology and all of the other things in this world that threaten your plan for human sexuality and flourishing. Lord God, I ask this healing upon all of us and all of our listeners, but in a special way, Lord, we also ask for the conversion of our culture so that it might see the beauty that is your plan for human sexuality and flourishing, that we might all as one great family enjoy forever the vision of your glory. I ask this blessing through the powerful intercession of Our Lady, the Mother of Jesus, and St. Joseph, the guardian of the entire universal church. And I ask this blessing upon you and all your families, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Go ahead. Amen.
All right, Father Brian, thank you so much. Vicki Leland and Heidi Marr, thank you so much for your boldness, stepping out and doing what I think a lot of people are very grateful that you're doing. So thanks for that. And thanks to Cecil Anderson for running the board. Thank you all for listening. Again, if you want any information, you want to start this up at your parish, you want to donate, you want to support, you want to pray, that it's going on primarily June 7th and 8th, okay, a couple weekends from now. But of course, the prayers are needed all year round. But this is when we're going to focus on it. CatholicCaravan.org is the website, CatholicCaravan.org. This has been the interview of the week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Get ready for the DFW Pro-Life event of the summer. All incoming 9th through 12th graders are invited to be fully immersed in the culture of life at the first ever pro-life experience held by A Blaze for Life. Expert speakers, service projects, the sacrament, and a community of pro-life teens. Find all this and more only at the Pro-Life Experience, July 19th through 23rd. You can find more information, including volunteer and sponsorship opportunities, online at ablazeforlife.org.
Loretto House Pregnancy and Parenting Resource Center is happy to announce that a Concert for Life featuring Father David Michael Moses and a group of talented priests from across the U.S. is coming to North Texas. It's Wednesday evening, August 7th, beginning at 7:30 p.m. at the Urban Convention Center. This concert is suitable and fun for all ages, and tickets are just $10. Come support the life-saving work of Loretto House. Tickets are on sale now at LorettoHouseConcert.com. That's LorettoHouseConcert.com.
On this edition of the KTH 910 AM Interview of the Week, we are going to be talking about a brand new pro-life organization that just started this year in 2024. I'm excited to introduce you to the executive director of Ablaze for Life. That is the group. Okay. Ablaze for Life. You're probably learning about it for the first time. And in many ways, I am as well. So I'm very excited to welcome Maddie Brown, the executive director of Ablaze for Life, into the studio. Their website is very easy to remember, ablazeforlife.org. I'm Dave Palmer, host of this program. And how beautiful, because Maddie Brown has her son Peter in studio with me. And so if you hear a little cooing and a little bit of noise in the background, hey, this is a pro-life interview, right? Exactly. So that's perfectly all right. So he's just responding. And also thanks to Cicel Anderson for running the board for this interview. So Maddie Brown, thanks for being here. Good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave.
And thanks for bringing Peter with you as well. So he's a fifth of, your fifth of five children, right?
Correct.
So far.
Correct. So far.
Yeah, we don't want to put any ending on that. Who knows? God's will be done.
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks for taking time to be here. And let me just start with the obvious question. What is Ablaze for Life? Why did it start? What's the purpose? Tell us about it.
Okay, Ablaze for Life is an educational pro-life ministry focusing on helping families raise their children pro-life. And it started because I was raised in the pro-life community. And as I became a mom and had children, I was wondering, you know, how do I teach my children these things and raise them pro-life from the very beginning when they innately knew the truth?
Yeah.
And just reinforcing that, and how does that work, and how do I fight against the culture of death that they're experiencing? And what I found was I wasn't finding resources out there from the church, and because our world has kind of gone crazy, even my parents couldn't help me, because some of the things I have to talk to my children about, they didn't have to talk to me about. Transgender wasn't a thing when I was young, mm-hmm. but my elementary school kids are hearing about it. And so it's just so important for us to be helping families. And there was just this gap that no one was out there really guiding parents through this and walking them through this process. And we need to make sure that we're raising our children pro-life, because I believe that we need to be changing hearts and mind, and that abortion should be unthinkable, even more than it should mm-hmm. be illegal.
You make such a good point, because I was thinking the same thing before you said it, is that the kids innately know the truth. You know, if they were put in a vacuum and you don't have all these sinister outside influences trying to direct them away from basically natural law and what they naturally know to be true. But we also know at the same time that these forces are powerful, and these forces are very persuasive, and they've got the media for the most part, and they don't have us, but they've got a lot of the media on their part and TikTok and all that. So you got to kind of stand in that gap, don't you? And push back against the influences that are trying to direct them away from their natural inclination, right?
You do. And it's seeping in so many places. It's in children's shows where they'll be like, oh, you know, this character has two mommies and they're married. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can protect your kids from that as much as you can. But I'll give the example. My daughter, my kids go to public school. We love our school.
Yeah.
But my daughter one day came home in third grade. She came home having gone to library that day and told me, Mom, this book that I got from the library, you wouldn't like it because it has two gay characters in it. Mm.
So she knew you wouldn't like it.
She
knew. There's something in there. Yeah.
She knew, right. Because we had had the conversation.
Yeah.
And I had thought before, I was like, okay, maybe, you know, early elementary, I'm having this conversation early, but, you know, I'm going to have it anyway. But now I'm like, I'm so thankful I had that, because if she hadn't heard it from me, she never would have told me that was in that book. Mm-hmm. And she would have started to believe that yeah. this was the truth. But since she had already heard it, she knew, and we could talk about it and talk about how they were confused and what was going on there. And so it just reinforced for me that we need to have these conversations earlier and earlier with our kids.
Yeah.
Earlier than you would think, really.
Unfortunately, yeah. Yes. So, A Blaze for Life, you have a slogan, pro-life education starts in the family. And I love that because as good as the CCD program is, as good as Catholic radio or, you know, what, you know, A, B, C, or D, it's going to come down to the parents, like you're talking about, educating the kids. It's our responsibility as parents to do this first. And this is where A Blaze for Life comes in, is equipping the parents with these tools and resources and information to do their job, right?
Correct. So we're building a library online on our website of how to talk to your kids about these issues and, you know, when are they ready to hear about abortion? When are they ready to hear about, you know, transgenderism and same-sex attraction and how to go through the steps of teaching them, you know, okay, what do you tell them at this age? What do you tell them at this age? And I say age, but if you go and read our stuff, it's more about the child's maturity because my daughter at 8 was ready to hear about things that my son at 8 is not ready to hear. So it is really knowing your children. And that's part of why CCD can't handle it because you have to know your children and know how to say these things to them. And so that's what we're providing. And we also are building a community of pro-life families because that is just so important to see a whole culture of life, not just in your family, but in a broader sense of other families. And so they experience children of all ages, and maybe one family is done having children, but in our community, we have so many mothers who are pregnant and they still get to experience that pregnancy as it goes along with the other family.
You mentioned the online resources that you're building up. What will be the source of those? Are you developing any unique original content, or are you leaning on other things that you find online and just linking to it? Or what's the content?
It's a combination. Anything that's already out there, I don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of these things that aren't out there. There are some articles of how to talk to your children about abortion. But I didn't find anything about how to talk to your young children about same-sex attraction. Mm-hmm. I didn't find anything about transgenderism. So I am having to work with some of, you know, the other volunteers and create these. And we have decades of experience in the pro-life movement. So, you know, you're getting expert advice here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys are, as of this recording, less than a half a year old. And so how has it gone so far? What have you all been able to accomplish? And I know it's always, you know, getting that car from zero even to 20 miles per hour, it's, you know, you're working at it. So how has the first half year gone so far?
It's been a little slow, but at the same time, there's just been these beautiful bursts where huge things will happen. And it's God always, because anytime I'd get discouraged or I'm like, am I doing the right thing? Is this taking away from my family in a bad way? Well, something will happen. You know, we'll get, you know, a new donor come in. A new person will call me and be like, you're doing an amazing thing. I can't believe no one's done this before. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, We have been able to get our 501c3 through the government. And so that was a huge step. And everyone that I've told were like, you did that so fast. I was like, well, God has a hand to making this happen. Yeah, it's not me.
Amen. You mentioned funding, donors. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a 501c, the very purpose of it is so that people can make tax-free donations. Do you have, what's the strategy for fundraising or maybe things like this, just getting the word out? And what are the needs regarding fundraising?
Well, right now, we're just kind of reaching out to our personal contacts to fundraise because we're starting from nothing. It's just a group of us in our living room, you know, at a dining table. There is no backing.
Every group starts like that.
Yeah. There's no backing. There's no organization behind us. And so we need donors to come in to help with, you know, putting on the events we are putting on, funding the website, and hopefully being able to fund a few salaries for, you know, to have staff working full time. Because, like, right now, I'm the executive director. I'm a full time volunteer. And
you
I'm
also
a mom
have
five, of
five kids under
yes.
10. Yeah. So you're busy and you're doing what you can.
Yes.
Who else is involved?
So we have Andrew Smith, is the president of our board, and mm-hmm. he is an absolute force. He's been around the pro-life movement for many years.
Yeah.
And we have Ron Engler, who also helped found the Bella House. And so he's doing a lot of our paperwork and our background, things like that. And then we have Paul Borchardt. I feel like you know Paul.
The man with the famous laugh.
Yes, the famous laugh. And he's helping us out with creating content and helping get our name out there with our contacts.
Yeah. Oh, so, that's a great team. That's a great team. So we're talking about A Blaze for Life. They are located online at ablazeforlife.org. Pro-life education starts in the family is their slogan, and they started January of this year. So this is kind of a baby organization. Maddie Brown is their executive director. Andrew Smith, their president, as she mentioned a moment ago. One of the things that I notice when I go to the website is that you all have a couple of summer events planned already. So let's take them chronologically. The Dobbs Anniversary Ablaze Day. I like that. Dobbs Anniversary, obviously people are familiar with the Dobbs is. That's a decision that, thanks be to God, overturned Roe v. Wade. That's June 29th.
Yes.
What's tell us about this event.
Okay, well, our Ablaze Days are community building. So these are our family pro-life days. So they happen a few times a year that we're planning on doing them. And it's just a time for families to come together, and there's something for everyone. So there's a little pro-life lesson for the little kids, and they'll do a craft while we talk to the parents about raising their kids pro-life or what's going on legislatively. And then we'll bring everyone together to do a pro-life service project together. So we had one of these in April, and they helped us put stickers onto a baby bank for a parish. And so even my little four-year-old could put stickers on there, and he was involved. And so they're seeing from, you know, this young age that I can do this. I can be involved. And it's just so sweet to see that and build this community. The kids are playing together. We had a cornhole game, and parents are chatting. And so that we're going to do that again in June, at June 29th, for the Dobbs celebration.
Yeah. What's the actual anniversary of Dobbs? It's in June.
I believe it's the 22nd.
Okay, June 22nd. Yeah. Oh, what a great day that was.
Yes.
I remember I was on the air, and I got a text saying, Roe v. Wade got overturned.
Oh, my goodness.
that was so exciting. So I love this. So Ablaze Days, the Dobbs anniversary one, is just one of many that hopefully you'll have this year. And like you say, you get together, the kids can do something fun, the parents learn. Is there a set location for these, or where will these take place?
We're moving them around the diocese.
Okay.
Because, you know, we don't have a location. So our last one was at Holy Family in Irving. I don't have a location yet, but I'm looking more north or east-ish for the next one. Just move them around, mm-hmm. try to make them easier for different people to come to, so that you're not always driving really far if you're really far.
Right. Okay. And another big event that y'all have on your website that's coming up this summer is Pro-Life Experience. And this is for incoming 9th through 12th graders,
correct.
Right? So what is this?
Pro-Life Experience is a summer camp. It's an immersive pro-life camp for these teens to really bring them into the culture of life and teach them at an adult level the truth of the dignity of the human person, and take them out to do service at all sorts of different pro-life ministries throughout the diocese, so they can learn about those different ministries that are going on, and then build community. Because, you know, if there's one pro-life teen out here at, you know, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and there's one over here at Prince of Peace, and they don't know each other,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they both go to public school and don't have any pro-life friends. Well, now they're getting together and they're meeting, and they say, whoa, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one who believes these things. And mm-hmm. it really strengthens them to know that there is this community, that it's there to support them. And then all of this is just the foundation of it is the sacraments and prayer. And so bringing all of that in. So we're starting with Mass and adoration and confession, because you got to start there, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course. July 19th through the 23rd, that's 5 days.
5 days, 4 nights.
Overnight, and it's at the University of Dallas.
It is overnight at the University of Dallas. So they'll stay in one of the UD dorms. So you got to get that kind of college experience to see what that's like.
That's awesome. And what's the cost, and how do people register for that?
It is $400, and it there is possibility that we might have scholarships available. So, you know, if that's a problem, please contact us. I don't want anyone to miss out just because of money. Mm-hmm. But you could register online at ablazeforlife.org. It's all on our website, nice and easy.
Yeah. I'm just curious, and we've probably talked about this on the air before, but your own story, because a lot of people are pro-life, but to get involved as much as you do, what can you remind our listeners a little bit about your story and how you became so actively involved in the pro-life ministry?
Well, I blame my parents and my sister. Blame or credit. You know, my parents raised me pro-life, and they took me along when they were doing pro-life service when I was a kid, and I was just there with my parents. And that's, you know, my parents' personality was just bring us kids along. And then as I got older into middle school, my older sister, who's 5 years older than me, she would go to pro-life events and be like, hey, do you want to come with me? And I wanted to tag along with my super cool older sister, so I tagged along with her. And as I did that, I learned more and more. And so then I could take, I could really bring these beliefs and make them my own just by being around it. And then when I was in college, I was volunteering at a pro-life event over the summer, and I met a really awesome, amazing man who's now my husband.
Ah.
So, you know, the pro-life movement has given me my entire life in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple things that I heard in that is that you became involved because your parents got you involved.
Exactly.
And you also were educated, and you, like you said, you blame them. And I often hear people say, how do we keep our kids Catholic? How do we keep our kids pro-life? And I think it's more than just lecturing to them. It's getting them involved in these service projects and the kind of things like this. So really, I guess the purpose is to kind of build up that next generation of pro-life leaders, because this fight isn't going to go away, right?
Exactly.
Dobbs did not end the fight, and I hear about that so often. So we are talking to Maddie Brown. She's the executive director, and my other guest is Peter, her son, who is standing up in his little carriage there, a stroller, and he is just, you can't see it on radio, but he is just cute as could be. AblazeForLife.org, AblazeForLife.org is the website, and pro-life education starts in the family, started in January of 2024, and again, the Dobbs Anniversary of Blaze Day is going to be June 29th, and also the pro-life experience for rising 9th through 12th graders, July 19th through the 23rd at the University of Dallas for $400 admission. And so what else should people know about Ablaze? Like I said, they're learning about this for the first time. What else do you guys have planned for this year or beyond, or what are the hopes and goals?
We have huge plans. So we are starting locally, but we view this as a national issue, that families nationally need this information and need this community and this type of event. So our goal is really to take this nationally and have an Ablaze for Life community in every diocese and a pro-life experience in every diocese across the nation.
That's an ambitious goal, huh?
Yeah, it's ambitious.
I think I probably know the answer to this, but tell us how y'all decided on the name.
It came to me. I am very devoted to St. Catherine of Siena. She's been speaking to me a ton recently. And so I truly believe, you know, it's... my mind just blanked. Be who you are meant to be, and you'll set the world ablaze.
Right, right.
And so that's just kind of when God called me to do this, I was like, this is how I'm meant to set the world ablaze. And so I was like, okay, we're just going with that.
and it so ties into what we said earlier, is that these kids are on a trajectory, and God has a specific plan for them, for all of us. But sometimes it takes people to come in and kind of guide and redirect against some of these more sinister forces. And so that is so cool. I just encourage everybody to go to ablazeforlife.org. You know, when we're talking about funding and donations, you know, some of these people who would like to send their kids to the pro-life experience, you say there's, you know, scholarships available, but this doesn't drop out of a tree. So
Right. These
are the kind of things that people could fund, right? Just like you said, maybe some salaries or is it mostly a volunteer basis right now?
Right now it's completely volunteer.
Okay.
All of our funding is going towards our upkeep costs of the website and this the events that we're putting on. And
yeah,
so.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much, Maddie, for coming in, and for Peter also for being an awesome. he is so close to the microphone. I feel like I want to ask him a question, but he's too young. So he is definitely ablaze for life and a beautiful child there. Congratulations on your big family, growing
you.
Family, and on all the good work that's being done with Ablaze for Life. And again, just to encourage everybody to go to the website, ablazeforlife.org, ablazeforlife.org, pro-life. Education starts in the family. If you feel inspired to support them, or perhaps enroll one of your kids in the pro-life experience this summer, July 19th through the 23rd, or go to one of their Ablaze days, and just go on their website and read up on all that's going on. There's a lot of good information. It's a very attractive website as well. So,
thank you.
Maddie, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
I love that you dared bring your son here, and I think he behaved himself so well. And thanks so much. And thanks also to Cecil for running the board, and thanks to everybody for listening to these interviews of the week, and also for prayerfully discerning supporting groups like Ablaze for Life. If you feel so inclined, they are a 501c3, and you can find out all the information on their website, ablazeforlife.org. This has been the KTH 910 AM Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network in North Texas. Thank you for listening. God bless you, and have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks for joining us for this week's KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Catholic news and information pertinent to North Texas Catholics. Please join us again next week at this same time for another KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week.
Hello, I am Wesley Steffish, a member of Mother Day Parish in Irving and sponsor here at KATH 910 AM. I am owner of Absolute Painting. We serve customers throughout the DOW Metroplex. Our service at Absolute Painting include home improvement projects, both interior and exterior painting, drywall, carpentry, flooring, preparing homes for sale, and much more. I welcome the opportunity to prepare an estimate for your next project. You can find us at absoluteptg.com or by phone, text 972-375-5100.
Ablaze for Life is sponsoring the first ever pro-life experience, an immersive pro-life leadership camp for incoming 9th through 12th graders. The pro-life immersion camp will be Friday, July 19th through Tuesday, July 23rd at the University of Dallas in Irving. Ablaze for Life walks with families as they build the culture of life, promoting the dignity of the human person from conception until natural death. Space is limited. For more information or to register for the first ever pro-life leadership camp for high school students, visit ablazeforlife.org.
Loretta House in Denton is a pregnancy resource center that serves women dealing with unplanned pregnancies. They provide free pregnancy testing, clients receive material goods like diapers, baby items, clothing, parenting classes, and more. Loretta House is an official apostolate of the Diocese of Fort Worth. All services are provided free of charge and remain completely confidential. Many babies are saved and many hearts changed. For more information, visit LorettaHouse.org or call 940-380-8191.
Experience the vibrant tapestry of cultures at the Dallas Diocesan Multicultural Celebration Unity in Diversity on Saturday, June 8th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Mother of Perpetual Help Parish in Garland. Celebrate the richness of diversity within our community. The event includes a multicultural mass with Bishop Greg Kelly, international food sampling, and musical performances. Visit DallasCatholic.org and click on events for more information.
Sacred head now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down. Now...
Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Catholic radio for your soul in North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Heard also at grnonline.com and on your smartphone.